Well, a good Tuesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. This is the Green Zone. I'm Jamie. He is Locker, and we've got another jam-packed show for you. We're going to get to the bottom of the QB controversy brewing in Cleveland. Will Shedeur Sanders actually be the starting quarterback after his fall down the NFL draft? Rick Zamperin's going to join us from the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and we're also going to have a debate a little bit later, Locker. Who's the MOP right now in the Canadian Football League at about the midpoint of the season?
And you don't have to pick our two choices.
Well, is it between the two quarterbacks who play against each other on Saturday?
You could come up with somebody else, but it is a very interesting conversation between Bo and Trevor. Yes. Also, back to the Browns. I'm almost willing to put it on the. I think Shedeur is going to start on the 7th.
And I think their opening game, Shedeur Sanders will be QB1 for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. In Cincinnati, taking on the Bengals, he's going to start.
Will you do the Steven Seagal look if he doesn't start?
No, I'm not going to do a hair thing every time I put something on the board.
It's starting to become a trend here on the Green Zone. With the potential of frosted tips, mullet, man bun for me if Connor McDavid doesn't sign with the Oilers.
We do have a weird fascination with...
And you're going to go jet black on the old goatee if the Riders do not sell out. By the way, we do have an update on how close they are to a sellout.
Yeah, looking good.
As we begin with the starting lineup, the top sports stories in the Riders back at practice today. Pads were on following the bye week.
Just to get us humming, you know, after some time off. You know, I think it's good. It's good competition. And really, I thought the guys enjoyed it anyway. So it worked out good.
And also a little bit to do with how flat they came out of the bye week last time around. It's their only loss this season to the Calgary Stampeders. Yeah. So Corey Mace felt, you know, out of the bye week this time, let's throw on the pads, get the juices flowing, get that competition brewing.
I like it.
Into this big game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday.
100%. Because I think the biggest issue with that game that they lost to Calgary was the fact that they couldn't get going. They had a slow start, and then they just couldn't keep any, they couldn't get any momentum on their side, right?
So, of course, week 11 in the CFL will begin Thursday, but the Tiger Cats in town Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock start, family day at Mosaic. The team announced that there are over 30,000 tickets sold. It's about 2,000 tickets left.
We can sell this out, everybody. Come on, Rider Nation. Let's go.
Yesterday it was around the 3,000 mark, so if 1,000 tickets move a day, Locker, I think by Thursday, they might be announcing a sellout, and you don't have to worry about having that jet black goatee, although I'll be thoroughly disappointed that we don't get to see that. Maybe we'll have to put that on a future bet.
I will be more disappointed if we don't sell this game out. Second best team in the CFL. Nice day. 1 o'clock start. Saturday. Fun for the whole family. Bring grandma.
It's a family day game for the Riders and the Tiger Cats. In a week 11 action.
Baseball. Jays are back.
Squared up. Swing and a high drive. Right field. Way back. The Blue Jays win the game.
So we got a matchup with the Cubs at home. The Jays kick off a three-game series tonight. That start is just after 5 o'clock. The Jays are 4.5 games ahead of the Red Sox. They stay in the lead in the AL East. The Cubs are 6.5 games back of the Brewers, who are just, they're just exploding this year in the NL Central. This is their first meeting, the Cubs and the Jays tonight. Looking forward to this matchup. This is an excellent litmus test for the Jays leading into playoff ball here, because this is a team that's very similarly built to them. They play good defense. They play good offense. And I think if they can win this series, get 2 of 3, I think Jays fans, mm-hmm. should be very, very, very excited about October ball.
Of course, a nice little cushion heading into 8 weeks remaining in this season for the Jays up on the Red Sox in the AL East. Local ball goes tonight. Big game three, the deciding game three with the Berries and the Red Sox.
Charge!
Oh, was I supposed to do that too? Probably would have been.
It would have worked better if we would have done it together.
7 o'clock is the first pitch. Cairns Field in Saskatoon tonight. Yes, the Berries beat the Red Sox 8-4 at Curry Field last night. So this has been a series for the away team so far. Yeah. Regina won game one in Saskatoon. Saskatoon wins game two in Regina. Back in Saskatoon tonight. And we now know there will be a new champion in the Western Canadian Baseball League, as the Sylvan Lake Gulls eliminated Okotoks. They swept them in the West Final. Okotoks had won three straight championships going into this year. Gary Brossel was on yesterday saying, well, I kind of would rather see the Sylvan Lake team go through because it's kind of getting boring. Okotoks have won four of the last five championships. Not this time. It will be Sylvan Lake in either Regina or Saskatoon. We'll see who they play tonight. Meanwhile, the manager of the Berries will be joining us at 2:35.
I'm glad that Joe's back on, because the last time we had the president on
from the Berries,
from the Berries, Steve, there was something that was brought up revolving around Saskatoon Berries and him not having, and then and a pie. And I just want to make sure that if that did happen, he didn't think that it was a suggestion from you and I.
Steve said we should just pie him in the face because he hasn't had a pie yet. That was not from us. We did not suggest that.
We didn't poo-poo the idea, but we didn't bring it up.
We might have endorsed it, actually. But Steve brought it up to be official. We'll see Joe got a pie in the face.
If you're going
to
be mad at somebody, it's going to be, but we'll deal with that when we get Joe on. All right, NFL, a Nevada court has opened the door for John Gruden to sue the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell.
5-2 ruling. The Nevada Supreme Court found that John Gruden does not have to submit his claims to arbitration. That it's unconscionable to have an arbitration clause where, in a case like this, the commissioner is responsible for the arbitration of a claim against the commissioner.
All right. Okay. So we're still dealing with his text messages. When was this?
This was an investigation with the Washington Redskins back in the day. It was an internal NFL 2011 were these emails.
That's what I was.
So these emails that got John Gruden to resign or forced out of Vegas as the head coach of the Vegas Raiders. And this, I was ticked off about this back in, what was that, 2020 or 2022? When it was, what is happening here? There is this investigation. All these internal emails of all these executives around the National Football League, which was only for NFL eyes only. It was internal. No one had privy knowledge to what was in this investigation. But
Gruden's
all of a sudden,
Texas were leaked,
John Gruden, when he was an employee at ESPN, sent a couple of emails disparaging the commissioner, Roger Goodell, at the time. And his emails get leaked, and he has to resign when there was some speculation that there are other emails from other owners in the National Football League that might have been even worse than the ones John Gruden was sending. But no, it's just Gruden that got by the leaks.
Yeah, that's a little, not that we're condoning.
No, they ruined Derek Carr's career because he had to change coaches a bunch of times. He and John Gruden were starting to turn the Raiders around a little bit. And then all of a sudden, and that you can go back decades on the grievances between the National Football League and the Davis family and the Raiders. They did it to us again. Did it to us again. They should compensate Raiders and Raiders fans if it's found they purposely got Gruden out of Las Vegas back in the day, just because he didn't like Roger Goodell. So we'll see. I want this in court. I want to see the documents. Bring Goodell down is what I say.
I'll be honest. I didn't think we were going to go here with this, but
hey, you got me started.
I understand.
John Gruden. Hey, the emails aren't very flattering for John Gruden.
No. I want to make sure we say that out loud. What was said in the you know, the overall content of those emails was not good. Was
But he was an employee for ESPN at the time.
Yeah.
Then he had to resign as head coach of the Raiders because of these leaked emails.
I didn't know this. He was a consultant with the Saints for a bit. He's not doing that anymore.
No.
But he is now part owner of the Nashville Cats. It's a team in the Arena Football One League. So, which was news to me.
I think John Gruden will be back as a head coach in the National Football League again. I think he will.
Are you serious?
Now that this is kind of getting closer to a conclusion, even though the NFL can now go to the Supreme Court to appeal this, which they probably will drag this even further down the road. But you know John wants what Tom Brady got after Deflategate, which is Roger Goodell to hand him the Vince Lombardi trophy. That's what he wants. Tom got it. Now, maybe Tom and John together in Las Vegas, now that Tom's a part owner, we'll both get to experience that. What am I talking about? The Raiders are never going to win. By the way, another big story in my life happened last night. We'll get you up to date on that next on 980 CJME and 650 CKLY. Jamie and Locker with the year on the Green Zone. I don't think we brought this up yesterday on the show. There's a big tease from the New Heights podcast. Jason and Travis Kelce have a secret guest coming up on Wednesday. It had a silhouette of what appeared to be a female person with sparkly orange in the background. And then last night on Taylor Swift's website, there was a sparkly orange website with a countdown clock to 12.
Oh my
12.
Goodness. I cannot wait.
And
I'm
yes,
going to have to take tomorrow off.
I do know that there are Swifties in my house. And you might have seen my Twitter last night at about 10:02. I tweeted out, I don't know what's about to happen in 10 minutes. But if the two ladies in this house wake up the boy, they're putting him back to bed. And then on the New Heights podcast, on the Kelce's podcast, was the actual reveal on what the heck was going on.
So I wanted to show you something.
Okay. What do we got?
We got
a briefcase.
Yep.
Mint green, the TS on it.
This is my brand new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
TS-12! Taylor Swift will be on the New Heights podcast tomorrow to tell you all about her new album that is coming out eventually.
Thanks to Jason Kelce for making that podcast watchable.
Did you?
I wonder if Travis knows.
Travis has to know that Jason's the best part of that podcast.
Yeah.
He has to know. Because Jason could host that thing by himself.
Yes.
And it would be hilarious.
So, our question to you, is Taylor Swift ruining sports?
She's not. She's making it better for everyone.
So, my question is, because I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
This is all I thought we were going to talk about this. You want
to dig deeper
into the Taylor Swift tease on the New Heights podcast?
Here's my question. And it's not for Jamie because I already know the answer. Does this intrigue you? Like, are you going to watch the New Heights podcast
tomorrow? Yes.
No, I'm talking sports fans. Is this at all intriguing to you? I know I'm going to end up by osmosis consuming some of this content just because I spend a great deal of time
about their relationship has been photos and little. There's never been a sit-down chat with what the heck is going on.
So she's never been on?
She's never been on the podcast.
I thought she made an appearance once. Like, didn't she pop her head in or something?
Oh, yeah, but as an actual guest? No.
Not
Kylie Kelce's appearance was hilarious, and now Kylie has her own podcast.
So Kylie, that was
Jason's
the one
wife.
Where she was talking about him going shirtless at the Philly Super Bowl.
Yeah. Kylie Kelce's
possibly also wildly entertaining.
A list of people you want to have a drink with. Kylie Kelce might be on my list. She seems like a mom who would be hilarious because she's a no BS person.
You'd have to be married to.
She was a high competitive athlete, field hockey at university, and Jason Kelce.
Jason said that she's a better athlete than
seems
him
like
numerous
a
times.
Maniac. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Berries and the Red Sox back at it tonight, this time in Saskatoon, the deciding final game 3 of their East final. Winner advances to take on the Sylvan Lake Gulls in the WCBL Championship series. 7 o'clock first pitch. The manager of the Berries coming up next here on the Green Zone. Riders back from practice. No real injury news. All the guys who are out still out for the Rough Riders, and the
game
went down.
Before the bye week, there wasn't a lot of injuries either, was there?
No. So,
because Sam Amelis was hurt previous to that.
Yeah. No Kian Schaefer-Baker. Sean Bain still working with the second team. Britton Gray will bring you up to date a little later on as well. Of course, the Riders and the Tiger Cats trending to the possibility of a sellout. Still tickets left for Saturday's clash. Our game of the week here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday ahead of Game 3 tonight. Cairns Field in Saskatoon for the Berries and the Red Sox in the deciding game of this East Final. Winner will move on to take on the Sylvan Lake Gulls. Joe Carnahan joining us once again, the manager of the Berries. Joe, always appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this on game day.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering how complicated your job is, especially when it comes to managing arms in such a condensed, fast-paced playoff format.
Yeah.
What are the strategies, or is it change game by game?
It changes game by game with whoever's available and all that. And we try to match up guys where they're going to be successful and try to get guys out of there before they're fatigued or anything like that.
Keys to success with last night's win. You tie up that series. You're back to Saskatoon. You got a deciding game 3 tonight.
Yeah, tonight, I mean, we just got to throw strikes and get ahead of guys and try to keep them off the scoreboard early. And they got a potent offense, and it's going to be tough. But we'll see if we're up to the challenge.
After a couple of extended games, how are the arms? What is the availability out of your bullpen tonight?
Oh, we got a lot. Like we have 17, 18 arms on our roster, so I mean we got a lot that's available, and we got some good arms that are available, and a lot of guys that want to pitch tonight.
Joe, there's been a bit of a pattern this year with the Berries, where you drop the first, come back in the second, and hopefully the third tonight. Obviously, not the plan. This isn't something you put down on paper. But what does it say about the resilience of the Saskatoon Berries leading into another game 3 tonight?
It just speaks volumes of our team's character. I mean, they just show up every day, and that's what we've been preaching every day. Be the same guy, same approach, same routine, and just play the game of baseball. I mean, this will be our 61st game this year, and just want to come in and kind of do the same thing we've been doing for all 60 of them.
After the success in the regular season, breaking that record, achieving that goal, well, how different is the intensity on what you're facing from the opponents in the playoffs in Moose Jaw, Regina?
It's as expected. Like, we've had very good games with those guys throughout the season, and they're both very good clubs, and it's exactly what we expected. We knew we were going to be in for a battle, and everybody wants to advance. That's what playoff baseball is, and that's what makes fun and special.
Joe, can we speak a little bit to the rivalry? It's a built-in rivalry just based on Regina versus Saskatoon, but just with where this season has gone, have you seen that intensity between the Red Sox and the Berries building?
Not necessarily building. I mean, it's just whenever we play a game, no matter who it's against, it's a competition, and we want to go out and win, and that's kind of our attitude. And like I said, it doesn't matter who we play, and it just so happens the Red Sox are a very good team, and we've had a lot of very close games with them.
What is it like to build rivalries with a new organization? Like, you've been around this league a while with your days in Swift Current, with Mad Hatter, Moose Jaw, but the Berries are new. What has it been like, and how important is just playoff experience between teams going to spark rivalries down the road?
Well, the thing with the schedule, we play teams so many times during the year. Like, we've played the Red Sox, for example, 10 times in the regular season, now two in the playoffs, so it's not playing them. And, you know, whenever you play any team a lot, you get familiar with them, and they get familiar with you. And it's like anything. It's like playing basketball or whatever with your brother growing up. The more you play against them, the more you want to beat them.
Joe, we had Gary Brotzel on, the president of the Regina Red Sox, yesterday, and he brought something up that kind of shocked me. Like, I was aware of the fact that you would be dealing with turnover in a summer baseball league, the WCBL, but I was surprised at how many people they've lost over the course of the season. So this is definitely one of the hurdles that you have in your position. How has this year's turnover compared to past years, Joe?
This year for us has been really good. I believe, just off the top of my head, I think we lost two guys.
Oh, that's good.
Just by injuries. Last year, when we were in this spot, we had 16 guys left. So, I mean, it's a little bit different than last year. A lot of it's just the fact that kids have to go back to school or end up signing pro contracts or stuff like that during the year, and the timing of that just because of the roster freeze. But this year we've been fortunate, and I think that's helped us get a pretty close group.
How long is the list of, like, in your office? Like, how long is the list of, okay, if one guy goes, this guy goes, this guy goes, of potential guys to fly up here in a pinch? What does it go to be, a manager and thinking of talent to recruit to Saskatoon during a WCBL season?
Well, the recruiting never ends. I guess it ends probably on this year, July 25th. But, after the season is over, you start up again. And basically throughout the year, you probably have a month off from July 25th to whenever the playoffs are done when you're not recruiting. But, it's ongoing for sure, and you always want to stay ahead of it.
It's interesting. Gary brought up it's the pitchers. A lot of the schools now don't really want their pitchers. How hard is that? To try to convince schools or players to go, okay, yeah, this is good experience to come up to this league and throw especially some meaningful ball down the stretch here.
Well, the biggest thing is just the relationships that you build with the coaches and then players as well, and just having a plan before the season, during the season, communicating with the coaches and kind of knowing what they want. Their pitchers at as far as innings and all that, and just being proactive and setting up a plan so you can stretch the innings out as much as possible, and having a pitching staff, the number of pitchers to be able to do that as well.
Joe, the Berries have had very little problem winning anywhere, so I'm guessing away games or home games haven't really been that much of a factor. We just took a look, Jamie and I, at the attendance that you've had for games here in the postseason. Looks like you've been drawing decent crowds, so the Jam fan has been growing. Does a good crowd, though, impact? Do the guys get excited? Does it impact the game?
Yeah, I mean, they get excited, and with playoff baseball, you don't really have to get up, but it's an awesome atmosphere here, and they get up even more when they're playing in front of their home crowd. And Hilty actually just came in and said they're sold out already, and they don't have a ticket left. So, I mean, it's going to be 2,300 or so, and it should be a loud environment.
Might want to give Gary a call because he had a thing called shoehorning.
Yeah. Yeah. They were shoehorning them in last night at Curry Field, apparently.
I think they already did that here, and I don't think the shoe's big enough anymore for the amount of people that want to come.
Speaking of Hilty, he was on the Green Zone a week or two ago, two or three weeks ago. And the topic which seems to revolve around you, Joe, is the Saskatoon berry pie. And I just want you to know that if Steve Hildebrand did pie you in the face, that was not our idea.
It started
that was
him.
His idea.
I'll have to be on the lookout for that then.
Well, it still hasn't happened. Okay. Okay.
No, no.
Well, it wasn't our idea. So.
Yeah, right.
We didn't
like dissuade him from not doing it, but he didn't come up with the idea.
But the starting point. Or was
maybe,
Steve.
Or maybe it's, did you have a Saskatoon berry tart yet? Maybe that doesn't even have to need to happen.
Not yet.
Okay, still looking.
He's saving it.
I'm going to take you back. I know this has nothing to do with the playoffs, Joe, but I'm just interested from the Gong Show that played out in Swift Current, because you were like a top player in Swift. You managed Swift to championships, and then all heck breaks loose in Swift. Is that a difficult spot to be in with your history in Swift Current and then trying to be peacemaker as the manager of the Berries?
Oh, no, I mean, it's just another game. I mean, what happened. It's in our past now, and we move forward from that, and we're excited in the position and opportunity we have right now and looking forward to this game.
But I'm curious, in that situation, are you able to look at the crowd and go, Gary, come on? Like, did you know that many people in Swift Current to, like, know the people that are maybe yipping a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I know quite a bit of people in Swift Current still, and then the city's full of a lot of great people and stuff, and it was just a weird situation that happened, and was what it was.
Yeah. Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the release of the new Taylor Swift album?
I didn't even know, so.
There you go.
There you go.
Overall, don't want to look too far ahead, but we now know it's Sylvan Lake next. If you get past Regina tonight, break down what Sylvan Lake brings to the table for either you or the Red Sox in the final.
They're good. I mean, they're in the finals, and they've played good, two tough teams to get there, and they've been good ever since they joined the league. So, I mean, we got our hands full tonight and haven't really given much thought about Sylvan at all. We got to try to take care of the Red Sox because they're a very good club.
Well, Joe, best of luck tonight. As you said, good to hear a sold-out crowd at Cairns Field.
It's going to be a lot of fun, yeah.
With the Berries and the Red Sox. Best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
That is Joe Carnahan. He is the manager of the Saskatoon Berries. Them and Regina. Game 3 tonight, the deciding game 3. Winner moves on to the league final against Sylvan Lake. And, of course, that final's going to get going right away.
I don't think Sylvan Lake has lost a game in the playoffs yet.
They have not.
They've just been 4-0. Steamrolling everybody.
So
Evan Bray was talking on his program earlier today that he's planning on going to the game tonight in Saskatoon. So
now we know who if you want to pie somebody, you'd be on the lookout for Evan Bray.
There you go. That's not
that is my idea, and I'll own that one. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone.
Just get video of it, please.
Coming up next. I'm picturing someone actually doing it. And then said, Jamie told me to, and then I'll be in trouble. That'll be a meeting. Coming up next. The day the Expos got screwed out of a championship in 1994. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Rich Fall remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Who's puck ever scores? Tie game!
Have another donut!
On this day in sports history, August the 12th, 1994.
We just can't continue to do business as usual. I know the short-term pain is intense. If this can serve as the impetus to constructing a long-range solution that solves the very terrible economic problems that we have, then maybe there will be some good that will come from this.
Bud Selig addresses the media after the players go on strike in Major League Baseball, August the 12th, 1994. A deal could not be made between the owners and the players. Locker, the major sticking point that the owners wanted to bring into Major League Baseball in 1994 that led to this strike, and the Expos, who were the best team in baseball, by the way,
they got burned.
If it was the Yankees, they wouldn't have gone on strike. But anyways, it was a salary cap. The owners wanted to bring in a salary cap, and the players...
they still don't have a salary cap.
They have a luxury tax system, but no salary cap in Major League Baseball. Only two times have the playoffs of major sports been turfed because of player-owner disruption. 1994, and of course, the 2004-2005 NHL season. That was it. The times where the championships
in the middle
were
of the season. Okay.
That was on this day where Expo fans went, are you kidding me? We have a chance.
How long did they stay in Montreal? It wasn't long after that, right?
Oh, they're still in Montreal in 2003. I remember that because I went to a few 95. Games. So it was about a decade later. It was okay. 03 was their penultimate season or their last season. Tickets were $2 to go watch in 2003. I literally walked into the stadium with a toonie and could sit on the third baseline.
Yeah.
And you wonder why the Expos went away.
If you ever run into, say, like Bryce Harper at the airport.
Don't bring up a salary.
Don't. Man. Yeah, because he'll probably
have the same reaction to why they locked out and walked off the job.
He's got some rage issues revolving around salary cap.
So that was the day MLB went dark because of the player strike. On this day in 94. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Rough Riders back to practice today. No real injury news. Nobody was really out that wasn't expected. And those who were injured, nobody was really returning to the lineup for this week's game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That is a 1 o'clock start on Saturday. Meanwhile, some bad news for the Tiger Cats. Two of their star defensive backs, Stavros Katsantonis and Jamal Peters, unable to practice. Scott Milenovic says they could be game-time decisions for Saturday's game against the Riders. Meanwhile, the Berries and the Red Sox going head-to-head in game number three, the deciding game three of the East Division Final in the Western Canadian Baseball League. The winner tonight will advance to take on the Sylvan Lake Gulls for the league championship. And the Jays are back at it tonight. They take on the Cubbies. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Rick Zamperin. If he believes the Tiger Cats can bring down the Riders away from home like the Riders did earlier in the season to Hamilton. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.